coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, our front nine gets going with a big breakthrough at the Houston Open and a very surprising finish as well. Plus, the hottest golfer in the world probably isn't even on the PGA Tour. We'll get into that as well. And this week's guest, an impact artist and performer that I got to see live at South by Southwest. His name is Mr. Alexander Starr. I'm introducing you to his message, his music, and his movement. Really great conversation coming your way for all of our audience. Plus, the Final Four is set. Baseball is back, and we're heartbroken yet again. And when we always end with food, it's a cringy Easter candy creation. All of this brought to you by our good friends and our go-to sponsor of the podcast, talking about Desert Fox Golf. DesertFoxGolf.com is the website. They've got all sorts of great golf gear and accessories for the golfer or the athlete on the go, especially maybe the one that likes to carry a drink with them at all times. Whether it's water or whether it's something a little bit more daring and you're in the party mood, the Swing A Tumbler is just one great product in the Desert Fox Golf line. Again, check out our friends on social at Desert Fox Golf. They post some really awesome content about what they make, and you can learn behind the scenes of their products. Again, check out DesertFoxGolf.com.
Hello, interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, they were just 6 hours south of you in Houston? Texas is such a big state, it's hard to keep
huge.
Track
sometimes.
Yeah,
it's only about two or three, but it feels like six when you get on that highway in between Austin and Houston, I'll say that.
For the Texas Children's Houston Open, yep. And Steven Yager. It becomes a journeyman winner on the PGA Tour, outlasting Scottie Scheffler, who is trying to go three wins in a row. So Yager takes his first tour victory. It means he gets to play in the Masters next week. It's a whole lot of good things for him and his story.
Indeed. Stefan Yager is a journeyman as well, too. This guy has been around. Twiddled through all the mini tours, felt like he was on the Korn Ferry Tour for what seemed like forever. Now made a bit of a name for himself as a more regular tour pro. But this was indeed his first win, getting around a PGA Tour track in four rounds successfully, more than the rest of the field. It's something that is a very underrated task. There are lots of guys that go their entire career with never getting one win. And I'm probably sure there were a couple of moments when he thought he could be out of that list. But finally breaking through in a big way. You mentioned he needed a little help from Scottie Scheffler, who was red hot. We all just assumed he'd make that short little putt on the 18th to send it to the playoff, but the 5.5-footer, just a little low. So again, Scottie Scheffler, yes, he's still human. Okay, he is on quite a Tiger Woods-esque ball striking pace. He's starting to find the putter, which we've seen in recent weeks, but he hasn't made every single one when he's needed to. And Sunday was the proof of that. So shout out to Yager and Yager bombs all around for the debut win. Yeah.
I think we are of the era where the Yager bomb video with the Jersey bro, think is
that officially dates us. If anyone knows that video from the early 1.0 days of the internet, Yager bomb phase is long gone for me. And I'm sure most of the drinkers who listen to the show, everyone has that moment for a few months. Where like it's fun and exciting and cool to take a Jager bomb, and then you have a bad night taking Jager bombs and you never drink it again. It's just one of those deals. I don't know if that lives through Stefan Jager's entire life, if he's still drinking in honor of his last name. But regardless, I'm sure he celebrated with a drink of his own for getting that first win on the PGA Tour.
Scottie Scheffler was not able to win three in a row, but Rolex Women's number one player Nelly Korda was able to do it this weekend at the Ford Championship presented by KCC. So she's got 11 victories on the LPGA Tour now. Is Nelly Korda the best golfer in the world right now?
That's what I'm saying. This is one of those, it snuck up and got you. Because while the whole world is focused on Scottie Scheffler right now as we head towards master season, Nelly Korda takes a few months off, pops back on the scene, and has now won in three starts in a row, something Scottie Scheffler yet to do. So very impressive stuff from Nelly. She's tearing up the early season, the LPGA Tour. I do know that if you asked her, Mike, though, she'd probably trade these three wins for a major in 2024. Yeah. She gets five cracks at them, unlike the PGA Tour, only get four. Her first one is in 2 weeks, also in the Houston area where I'll be for the Chevron Championship. That's kind of the elephant in the room is, you know, Scotty, no doubt, the odds-on favorite to win the Masters. Nelly, the odds-on favorite to win the Chevron heading into the first major championships.
So who of these two do we think is actually going to win the first major of their respective seasons? Who,
yeah,
if you like, had to put a bet down right now on one of them, who are you betting on?
Those odds are probably pretty even. I bet you they're both somewhere in like the 5-1 to win range that week heading in. And we'll see those odds play out in the next couple of weeks. So starting with Scotty next week at Augusta, I'm going to have to say him just because of him being a past Masters champion and recent major championship performance has been better than Nelly was in the last 12 to 18 months in majors. So I'd go Scotty by a hair there. But hey, Nelly win four in a row before the Chevron. Maybe my answer changes by next week. We'll see.
We'll keep an eye on it for sure. I also want to talk about the Champions Tour. We don't talk about the Champions Tour very often, but it was an interesting finish at the Galeri Classic in California at Rancho Mirage. Steven Alker, who we know, 8-time winner on the Champions Tour.
Yes.
He's got a great career going on there. Yep. He was tied with Retief Goosen. You remember Retief Goosen from two PGAs, U.S. Opens? Which ones were they?
Yeah, 01 and 04. He won that famous one, Mike, which you'll remember when the Shinnecock greenskeepers lost the course and the whole thing turned brown and balls were like running off the green in every direction and no one had no clue what to do and everyone was complaining. Yep. That was the second and last one that he won 20 years
ago. There you go. So those guys were tied going to the final hole at Mission Hills. Goosen hit a thin 4-iron, let splash twice in the water before it finally sunk to the bottom. Alker decided to go for the green, cleared the water, but then it bounced backwards into the water. Alker missed his par putt. Goosen went 8 feet with his wedge from his penalty and was able to sink his par putt for his first PGA Tour Champions victory. Sorry, that's his third PGA Tour Champions victory. Third.
That's that resiliency right there. Yeah. You know, that's what it's all about. That's what the beauty of this game is. Just when you're in a head-to-head match play scenario and you think you're down and out, stay with it. Hole's not over until the ball's in the cup. So you just never know. Shout out to the perseverance. And that's the kind of guy I would expect to win in that fashion. You remember Goosen back in his PGA Tour days. He was always winning on the toughest tracks, the toughest venues. The two U.S. Opens were a testament to that. So he knows how to grind it out. Impressive to see. And it was good to see that course again. The LPGA used to play their first major, the former Chevron Craft Nabisco event there. Always love seeing that track in Palm Springs when the pros play there.
Hey, over on our YouTube channel, if you haven't been checking it out there, you can see Alex playing in total darkness. Complete darkness on the 17th hole in Naples, Florida. There were lights somewhere on that course, but not on the 17th, it looked like.
Yeah, it was night golf, and they took the challenge literally because there were a few holes where they just forced you to improvise. You know, just go ahead and guess where the pin is. You're 110 yards out, and just take a good guess at where it was. So night golf got very entertaining. And the highlight of the day did not even come from me on the golf course. So that's my tease for you. Again, check out our YouTube page, Course of Life Podcast on YouTube. Been getting some really awesome traction from a lot of our videos, including the PBR bull riding experience of recent. It looks like people are checking out the rest of our catalog as well. So yeah, that night golf video is up as well too. And I've got some new videos coming, Mike, because as I mentioned, I'm now working part-time at a golf course here in the Austin area. So I've basically got a new playground to do all sorts of on-course content. I'll tell you this, Mike, I did a standard round there, but I also played 9 holes with just one club on this course. I've been dying to do that for a long time. So look forward to those videos coming to the YouTube page soon.
It is the week before the Masters. I mean, it is the Valero Texas Open there. Corey Connors looking for 3 wins at the Valero Texas Open. And Rory McIlroy just looking for something to get himself going ahead of the Masters.
Right. Yeah, he's the betting favorite. And this is that classic debate we always do with the rust versus the rest the week before the major. You know, what are you doing? Are you playing into it? Are you playing with form? So you just hit that plane to Augusta Sunday night, ready to roll? Or are you taking this week off to rest, recuperate, get the muscle, brain, and body and bones ready for the duration of 72 holes of a major? In this case, like you mentioned, Rory's deciding to play. Scotty was initially thinking about playing this week, but decided not to. Other big names, Spieth. I'm seeing Ricky and Morikawa on the top of a lot of odds boards as well, too. So I don't know. I go back and forth on this, Mike, on the rest versus rust, but I've noticed it's always been tough to win the week before a major and then win the major. So it's like there's that fine line. Maybe you want to play well, top 10, but not win. So you're just like feeling enough of the momentum. I think that's kind of the best of both worlds play for the world's best this week.
Yeah, that's going to be the interesting thing. I am curious if anyone will ever do the Phil Mickelson and carry two different drivers in the bag to see which one he prefer for Augusta.
Yes, the true equipment test right in front of everyone's eyes. Yeah. I love that. Just taking the rain session to the course. You know, we're just going to pack both for the day and just see what the world thinks about these two drivers. Only Phil, man, he was quite a character back in the day with his set. So yeah, Valero Texas Open. Be sure to follow on Instagram. I'm at Course of Life Alex and COL Podcast as well. By the time you hear this, I will have already taken the drive down for the Tuesday practice round. I'm going to get in touch with a few friends of the show for sure. They'll be playing in the field. Dylan Wu, Taylor Montgomery, Seamus Power, and more all playing there. Maybe check out some swings from Rory. So again, check out our social content in addition to what we do on the podcast on Instagram at COL Podcast.
All right, let's do a little tuned in because coming up on the 8th of April, if I'm correct.
Yep, next Monday.
There'll be some darkness across the United States. And I don't mean metaphorically.
Yeah, we've had that for a long time. Don't worry about that darkness. That's been there for years, if not decades. We're talking about the total eclipse. I am in the path of totality. Okay. Oh. Very, very exciting. Okay. 2 minutes and 36 seconds, I think, of totality is what we're looking at.
Long enough for you to play Total Eclipse of the Heart during the totality.
I can get at least two verses in the courses. You're right. I can. I'm very excited for that. However, Mike, we've got clouds in the forecast.
No.
Yep. Everyone in Texas is already freaking out. We're 5-6 days out as you listen to this. The early forecasts, a little daunting. Current percentage chance of a clean sun view is somewhere in the neighborhood of 20-30% right now. I need the weather gods and Mother Nature and the powers that be to turn things around in the next handful of days. I got my wife's family coming into town to check the eclipse out. It's the event of a lifetime, Mike. I just need 10 minutes of a sunny sky here in Central Texas next Monday.
You need to pray to the God you do or don't believe in and the gods you do or don't believe in, especially to the great spaghetti monster in the sky, because they're the only ones that can help you now.
I need everybody's help. I don't know. Am I going to be one of those people that ends up driving hours out into the Texas Hill Country to find sunlight? I could be. Regardless, I'm in the path right now. So all the more reason to follow us on social. I'll be doing a clips vlog, a clips post, you name it. If the weather is right, the content will be there.
Have you seen I saw a while ago that some of the airlines are running flights that will follow the eclipse as it goes across the United States. You can get on a plane and be on a plane during the totality.
I think it's like a Detroit to some city in Texas or something like that path where you just kind of cut right through the middle there and you can kind of ride the path of it. I did see that. I actually heard of a friend of my wife's that's accidentally, because of like a work trip, going to end up being flying like during the eclipse. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she's going through it. She might at one point. So all sorts of interesting ways to watch it. I hear the eclipse will still happen and be cool on a cloudy day, but you're just not going to be able to put the glasses on and actually see the freaking thing that's happening in the sky. So there's that as well, too. We'll see.
It's okay. I'm sure it'll still get dark, even if it's cloudy. It'll still get dark.
So. It will. It will get dark for sure in Texas. So I'm looking forward to it.
All right, let's get to the turn in this week's guest. Alex, it was South by Southwest by you in Austin just a couple weeks ago, and you were able to attend a show like you usually do, and you got to meet up with one of the artists that you saw live at South by.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. I got to talk to Alexander Starr, who's an artist I was introduced to at the show. I'd seen his name circling around online music communities, but didn't know much about him. After seeing his stage presence and getting to connect with him and what you'll hear from this conversation, you'll understand why he's on the Course of Life. He has a fantastic message and journey, not only with his music, but what he is doing in the community with his music as well. Really cool conversation coming your way with Alexander Starr. Next up, he's an Emmy-nominated songwriter and performer that I got to see live at South by Southwest here in Austin, Texas, repping the greater Lauderdale area of Florida. It's Mr. Alexander Starr joining the Course of Life. Alexander, how you doing tonight?
Excellent, man. How you doing?
Very good. Very good. It was great to see you live, get that full Lauderdale energy. We'll get more into your music specifically, but being at the Mix 94.7 West of the Fest, what was your experience playing or being in Austin? Are you familiar with the Lone Star State with your music at all? Or?
My first time in Texas was like 2 weeks before. I went to Houston with my wife to support her at a real estate conference. And then I came back and performed for the first time in Austin. So I had a multi-Texan experience that month. Austin is really dope, man. It's different. It's way different than Houston. And it's really, I didn't know what to expect. I've heard about Austin from musician friends of mine, like for a long time, but going, it was a very pleasant experience.
Yeah, and it was a cool lineup you were on. Got to see Sam Nelson from X Ambassadors, Knox, an upcoming pop star, Cassidy Pope. Did you have a chance to connect with anyone else in the lineup that day?
Yeah, mostly with Cassidy. Cassidy's really dope, not just as an artist, but as a person. And I got to watch everyone else from upstairs, and everybody was amazing. You know, I feel really fortunate to be on that lineup and to do what I do with my musicians in that lineup. It was really, really fun.
Absolutely. Cassidy, for those who don't know or remember, Cassidy Pope won The Voice. She's reinvigorating her music career. Now, her voice is sensational. I know exactly why she won that competition. So that was really cool to see her in action as well.
Yeah, and on the way home, we actually bumped into each other. We were next to each other in the TSA pre-check line, which was kind of cool. So we just kept bumping into each other.
So your music specifically, tell us a little bit about, you know, where it started and where it's mold. I picked up pop, hip hop, drum and bass vibes, really tropical, vibrant, and the essence kind of where you come from. But how has it molded and changed since you first started making music?
That's a great question. So for starters, my dad is a classical musician. He's a concert pianist. He was United States Artistic Wow. Ambassador for multiple tours. He was basically a musical diplomat on behalf of the U.S. government by way of the U.S. Information Agency. I think I quoted all that properly. But yeah, my dad is a really amazing classical pianist. And I grew up with all kind of different musical genres in the home. So my dad is an African-American concert pianist. My mom is an Ashkenazi Jewish hippie. So not only did I grow up with classical music in the house, I grew up listening to, you know, John Denver in the car with my mom, or like Bonnie Raitt, Carlos Santana. So, you know, and in addition to pop radio, because where I grew up, I actually grew up in Martin, Tennessee. So in a really small town in Tennessee, we didn't even have a hip hop station. We had country and we had top 40. So take my house, take country and top 40. And then whatever I got from television, I'm just really, 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 I'm like a smoothie of tastes. As long as it's good music, I enjoy it. So I think that's kind of where you see reflections of that in my songwriting, because I'm not confined by any boxes. I didn't grow up belonging to any one thing, you know, as a multicultural, multiracial, multi-religion household, multi-genre household of music. Like I don't belong to any one thing. I don't think I ever will.
Absolutely. Well said. Yeah. The range is on display with the music that I saw live as well. And one song that we need to highlight specifically is very unique in that you were approached by Visit Lauderdale, the sponsor of that show I saw at South by Southwest, with the opportunity to create an anthem for where you live. Now, that's kind of a heavy ask when someone says, create an anthem for this city. Like, how did you take that in, and where did you begin making that anthem?
That's another great question. So I've over the years, I've formed a reputation of being, you know, what I call the anthem architect. So I found a lot of strategic partnerships and synergies by way of me being an artistic prism. So say you're a corporation, you're a nonprofit, you're a government, you're a cause or campaign. Your beam of light is what you stand for and what you represent. You shoot that beam at me, I'm a prism. And then I blast out the colors of my songwriting on the wall based on your beam of light. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that fits for a lot of people.
Yeah. So, you know, when they approached me, it's because of my anthem work. We're doing anthems for like 211 National Helpline, United Nations. I did a Super Bowl anthem promoting coral reef awareness, a Super Bowl commercial, I mean. Yeah, my mind draws blanks when I think of everything that I've done, because I've done so much that I can't name anything. But that's, you know, I'm an anthem architect. And to be approached by Visit Lauderdale to do this, it's humbling. And it's also, it made me aware that, man, they're coming to me when there's so many artists and musicians coming out of South Florida, but they're asking me. And what makes it even more special is I'm the second artist in history approached by the government of Greater Fort Lauderdale to do a song. The first artist is Elvis. So, yeah. So, and they told me that.
That's a nice list.
First asked me, and they were like, "Yeah, I think Elvis is the only other artist that to do a song for Fort Lauderdale." And I mentioned that in a TV interview, a Deco Drive interview, and I hadn't even fact checked it. And when the interview aired, they had sourced the clip from the movie that Elvis did the anthem for, and they verified that fact. So yeah, Elvis, then Alexander Starr, which is kind of crazy.
Very cool list indeed. Yeah, and so the song is called Lauderdale. You can stream it now wherever you stream music. It's like exactly what you hope and want it to be. You know, take me to that tropical vibe and give me that energy. And you really represented it well. So again, Lauderdale, for people who haven't checked it out. And obviously the wide range of your music is available on YouTube and platforms as well too. I want to quickly touch on something really inspirational that you do. You mentioned kind of the impact that you're making beyond just the creation of the music itself, but what it's doing for the community that you're in. Tell everyone a little bit about your work with less fortunate kids and giving them the opportunity to create music themselves. How did that all come together for you?
Absolutely. So for a little more than a decade, I've been leading therapeutic songwriting and recording sessions for inner city teens living in foster care. I would like to say throughout the state of Florida, which it is, but I've also done it internationally. I actually went to Africa and did it a couple times. Where I'll go in with my recording software, simple as my laptop, microphone, audio interface, and a speaker to play some instrumentals out of. And I will help these young people write and record original lyrics based around their life experiences. But the challenge that I give them is, like, you come from hard times. Don't glorify those hard times. Talk about them, but also talk about them with the destination in your GPS being better time. So this is where I was. This is, you know, cause and effect, but this is where I'm trying to be. So, you know, I highlight their inner glow. I show them what they're capable of, and watch them fly from there. And I help them write and record, and they come out radio quality, and these kids have songs that they can be proud of forever.
That reaction must be great for them hearing their created work. But what's that reaction like for you when you hear that final product?
Well, I hear the final product from the first time they open their mouth and talk. So like one thing that I do, like, it, let's say I was going to record you, right? And you've never recorded in your life. Just by hearing you speak, I already know what your voice is capable of. So my job is to pull those vocal takes out of you and get you to do them on the microphone. And then I get you to do it 10 times. I'll pick the best pieces of each take, comp them together, and now you got this perfect vocal take that you didn't know you had. And when you play it back, you're like, wow, that's me? I'm like, yeah, that's the you that I heard the first time you did it. But now you hear it. I kind of like I have a gift for seeing potential inside people that's buried. Does that make sense?
Now that's a very uplifting way to approach your creative process with them. And it gives them that gift, that creation is with them for life. That's something that they'll have in a memory and a memento that they cherish in addition to having the experience with you. So I wanted to highlight that. It's a very important thing you're doing as an impact artist.
Thank you for highlighting that. I'm grateful.
Definitely. One other cool thing I saw in this center that you work in is kind of nicknamed, the acronym is the Handy Classroom. And I've seen that on YouTube, you do these awesome like tiny desk style performances. Be sure to check those out on YouTube if you haven't, and search Mr. Alexander Starr. But tell me about maybe the first time that that came together in the classroom and what spawned from there.
First and foremost, when I perform with my live band. They're all incredible musicians. And, you know, when you play really big shows, it's a really big production. You know, you got full drums, full bass, you know, fast speakers, keyboards, guitar, vocals, sometimes DJ, and it's big, right? But there's something that I love about the intimacy of a stripped down performance. And I think that's why Tiny Desk is so amazing. Tiny Desk is just like, yo, get rid of all the bells and whistles. What do you sound like if we were sitting in the room with you and you don't have stadium speakers? Don't have, you know, this big console and crazy lights and stuff. What does it sound like if y'all are just making music organically? And to me, that there's something so pleasurable about that, because it's just, you know, yeah, organic is simplified. And if what you have is, if the simplified version of what you do sounds amazing, then anytime you amplify it, you're amplifying something that's already pure and it's already like really good. You know, so when you boil it down to the simplest version of what you do, and that feels good, everything goes up from there.
Tell everyone a little bit about the band you work with as well, too. I saw that they've got really interesting history musically as well, too.
Yeah, man. So my band is called Alexander Starr and the Golden People. What you saw was the diet version. We just brought Jordan on guitar and BX on keys. But it's myself, lead vocals, Jordan guitar, BX keys, CJ on drums, and Lem on bass. So the core of us is five. And six, Chris, my front of house audio guy who mixes the levels. But together, there's this chemistry that we have. They're all born and raised church musicians. And when I say that, some people might know this, some people might not. Church musicians are some of the best musicians in the world because they're thrown into the musical fire from a young age. Are you a church musician?
No, I'm not, but I grew up in a Catholic church, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
So the idea of being a church musician means, and this is them telling me, because I'm not a church musician, right? First of all, they get thrown in the fire during service. Like, Jordan, our keyboard player didn't show up, so you're going to play keys today. Okay, so now you might know a little bit, right? And the preacher's speaking. And you're just, you know, noodling with the keys. I call it sprinkle sprackle. Just give me some chords while I talk.
Yes.
In my shows, when I say, hey, sprinkle sprackle real quick, that's what I mean. But then the key of the song is, you know, A flat minor. And then the preacher starts singing in B. So you're like, okay, we got to switch to B. Now you got to on the spot change the key. So they're so seasoned that like anything could happen and they will adapt and it'll just sound beautiful. So like, I'm so passionate about playing with my musicians. There's something so conversational about it. And it's just like an organic musical living creature when we play that like, I don't even like playing the tracks anymore. Like it's, you know, you on me, you got to fly the whole crew. That's how I feel. And that's how passionate I am about the gifts that my musicians bring to the table. You know, you can't beat live music.
Very well put indeed. Again, it's Mr. Alexander Starr on Instagram and social media if you want to check out what he's doing with himself and the rest of the band as well too. Rep and Visit Lauderdale very well at South by Southwest. Let's get into some of your favorites in South Florida. I know South Florida pretty well. I've been there a few times, but I want to get the opinion from the impact artist himself. So let's do a fun thing and talk about maybe someone else in your network. We're putting you on here to our audience on the show. Why don't you put our audience onto someone else in your network in the Lauderdale area, maybe an artist that you know or have worked with, or maybe one that hasn't gotten enough recognition that you like to showcase?
Ooh, I love that question. So, man, where do I begin? Man, I got so many good friends who make great music. AXR the Alchemist, he's a DJ producer. Echo Slim, Grammy Award winning producer, songwriter. Nico Rebel, Grammy Award winning songwriter, producer. Ledoux and the Broken, crazy vocalist. Man, I should have had a list ready. I'm sorry.
No, you got a good one right there. I appreciate that.
Yeah, we'll leave it there, and then I'm gonna refine my list for the next time.
Yeah, it's Mr. Alexander Starr. Be sure to follow along and see who else he's performing and collaborating with as well, too. Next Lauderdale question, got to ask about the beach specifically. You can't talk Lauderdale without talking beaches. Tell me your favorite maybe stretch of beach or beach vibe, beach sidebar, or something that you like hanging out at.
So I'm bougie, so I like private beaches at people's houses. I like solitude. But the chill places, man, I guess it depends on what you're up for, right? Like if you're up for it, you know, and you want to be around the hustle and bustle of the dope beach areas, Hollywood, the Hollywood Boardwalk, Hollywood Beach, anywhere in downtown Fort Lauderdale, Las Olas is a really cool strip of really nice, you know, like luxury restaurants and unique home decor, storefronts and, yeah, Las Olas is a really dope place to chill. You got to go to Extreme Action Park. It's, I think, Florida's largest indoor action park. They got all kind of crazy stuff. But I did official anthem for Extreme. It's called Let's Play. So if you pull up into the parking lot and step out of your car, you'll hear my song Let's Play on loop in the parking lot.
Just getting people hyped up as they enter?
Yeah.
I like that.
If you look up Alexander Starr, Let's Play, it's kind of like I wrote that anthem to be like a friendly competition anthem. Show me what you got. Let's play. And the funny thing is, if you look on Reels or TikTok, I didn't even know it, but like thousands and thousands of people have made Reels with that song, either doing sporting events or dog shows. A lot of dog shows are using Let's Play, which I hadn't even imagined, but fun fact, I guess.
That's awesome. You never know where your product is going to hit. And apparently Let's Play is hitting in the dog show community. Are you a dog owner yourself? Or?
I was. Both of my doggies passed away at age 15 a few years back. And yeah, I haven't replaced them. I'm on the road too much. So like,
yeah, I don't blame you. Let's talk some food questions. We love talking food to end with our guests here on The Course of Life. Lauderdale restaurant scene. You know, I know when I'm in South Florida, I'm always looking for like the best seafood in any shape or form. I'm sure there's a lot of different directions you can go to this, but where's a good Lauderdale restaurant you've had lately for people who are looking to visit?
So I'm going to plug a restaurant that I don't know if I've heard anybody else plug before, but it's like a hidden gem. It's called Riverside Market Cafe. It's really off in the cut, but they got these crazy $10 mahi, blackened mahi tacos that I get every time. And Riverside Market Cafe, I definitely rock with. There's a bunch of, oh my gosh, what's the name of that place? Man, I gotta get better with name recall.
That's all right. I appreciate the deal. Not only did you give us a food suggestion, but you gave us a nice cheap eat on vacation too.
Absolutely. Riverside got, it's crazy food. Oh, and they're like a craft beer place, right? So they got walls and walls of fridges with all kind of beers. You just go, you pick up what you want. And then at the end, you bring your empty bottles to the register and pay for what you drink. It's actually really cool, man. It's like I said, it's not one of those commercialized places. It's like, you know, local spot.
Nah, well put indeed. Riverside. Okay. We'll mark that down. And then did you get to eat anything in Austin when you were here for South by Southwest?
Yeah. A lot of food truck stuff because we were staying right in downtown. We were at the Thompson. So there was food trucks everywhere. So I had a lot of food truck food. What's the name of that place we ate at? I'm sorry, I'm being terrible with names.
It's okay. That's the culture. For people who don't know, you know, like that's the backbone of the culinary industry in Austin, is a lot of the best chefs, caterers, and restaurant owners start by having a great food truck and build their business from there. So that's kind of where you see everyone get put on in the food world in Austin.
Interesting. So it's levels to it. You start with the truck, then you get a storefront.
Yep. Maybe do a little catering in between, then you get that brick and mortar, and then you expand from there.
Yeah. And I did have a lot of tacos, because I know tacos are a staple in Texas, more so than they are here in SoFlo. We got some good tacos down here, but they hit different in Texas.
Yeah, we'll have to do the fish taco head-to-head next time I hit Lottery up. I'll be sure to hit you up and check out a show as well, too. Again, it's Mr. Alexander Starr. Appreciate you being on. Great to see you live, and looking forward to following the rest of your career with yourself and your band as well.
Man, I'm grateful to be a part of this show. It's all part of the course of life, you know. And thank you for, you know, sharing your platform with me. I'm glad to share it. And shout out to everybody listening and tuning in.
Course of Life podcast is brought to you by Zencastr. We've been using Zencastr here since almost the very beginning, as how Alex and I record this podcast from hundreds of miles away. And it provides us with great quality audio that works every time. And it's something that makes Course of Life what it is and has kept us being able to make consistent episodes every week. And now it's super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. You log in using your browser and start recording a high quality podcast right away. You record studio quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. You feel a sense of Zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. And if you ever wondered what you actually sound like, Zencastr's post-production process makes you sound buttery smooth. It automatically removes those ums and ahs in your recording. It removes those awkward pauses in conversation too. Set the right podcast loudness and levels while reducing background noise with the click of a button. Head on over to zencastr.com/pricing and use our promo code COURSEOFLIFE to get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. We want you to have the same easy experiences we do for all of your podcasting and content needs. Again, that's zencastr.com/pricing and our promo code Course of Life. Zencastr, it's time to share your story. And we're back. Great chat there with Alexander Starr. Incredible impact that he's making beyond just his music, working with kids, bringing them in and getting them to be able to be part of that creative experience and do make their own thing. You know, that's something that I just love to hear, that when artists are giving back in that way and really getting the kids involved and getting them to pump their creative juices as well.
Yeah, it's that experience that you can't replace when you have the moment to like get in and create something. And we have the privilege of feeling that often here with the show and the videos and content we do, but others aren't as privileged as we are to have those opportunities and the resources to do that. So I appreciate Alexander spreading that message. Love the music. We'll be posting his songs all week on our socials as well too. And yeah, he was there promoting Visit Fort Lauderdale. Mike, I know you and I would love to go down and maybe play some golf in Fort Lauderdale for sure. So shout out to our friends at Visit Fort Lauderdale. Would love to take a trip down there. And Alexander Starr knows the beaches and the parties very well too. So we'll definitely link up with him as well. If you enjoyed that conversation, be sure to give us a rating, follow us, like us on social, click that thumbs up right now while you're listening. It goes a long way to get this podcast and our content out to many more people, so people can enjoy it just like you are. So again, be sure to follow us. I'm on Twitter at Course of Life 1. We're on Threads with our IG handles at MWRIMC and at Course of Life Alex. So be sure to follow along.
All right, Alex, let's talk March Madness. You had said that the first weekend of March Madness was lacking that original, that big pop that you look for in the college tournament. Well, I don't know what you're thinking now, but man, that second weekend certainly had a lot of pop to it. And we have to start with North Carolina State, the 11 seed, the team that what lost like five games in a row at one point and then ran the table, won the ACC tournament, beat UNC, beat Duke, beat Duke again in the tournament, now is in the Final Four against Purdue. Are they going to make it to the national championship game?
I hope so, man. Keep the story alive. It's hard not to love DJ Burns, the jolly old fella down low with the smooth moves and, you know, the run that they bet on. Unbelievable. Like you mentioned, you know, had to win all five of those ACC games just to get their spot on the bracket. And they did. And then they've continued the hot streak. And this is what March is all about, is that team who, you know, may not have looked great on paper for most of the season, but they're finding their hottest moment right now when it matters. And the bracket is here. So shout out to the Wolfpack, you know, overseeding and outshooting North Carolina and Duke in the last couple of weeks from a basketball standpoint. Just a big overall morale win for NC State Wolfpack fans. And it's a double-double with their women's team also making it to the Final Four on the women's side as well, too. I hope they take down Purdue and Zach Edey. I don't know why. Just something about Purdue and just that culture, it just kind of irks me the wrong way. So yes, I'm full on rooting for the NC State upset on Saturday.
UConn, the defending champs, continue to roll, but they're going to play Alabama, who hasn't been in a Final Four since when? I think early 2000s was when they were last in a Final Four.
And a bit, yeah, for sure. And I mean, we all know Alabama as a football school. And yeah. I know what it's like to make a deal with the devil and win at all costs. So I'm saying this right now. I have a scary feeling that Alabama is going to win this championship, because what happens and the way the world works is, as soon as an evil empire like this loses their football, okay, they've essentially lost their chokehold on football. It's now going to be handed over to their basketball team. I have an eerie feeling this is going to happen. It's the first thing that went through my stomach as soon as I saw the matchup with the defending champion Huskies. I think they're the team to knock off Alabama, but if they don't, I'm sadly all in on Alabama cutting down the nets on the basketball side, which is not something I was prepared for, but it could be a reality very soon.
So you're saying if UConn, we're either going to have, hopefully, NC State versus Alabama.
Yes.
Is what you're thinking. But I think that obviously the bigger David and Goliath story is NC State versus UConn.
It is. That's the ultimate David versus Goliath March Madness headline match. So if you're purely going for that, that's what you're rooting for. NC State versus UConn, definitely the most angles to the matchup and most intrigue as well, too. Bring some epic matchups in the history of sports to hand. We'll see if the Wolfpack can get it done.
We are recording this as we usually do on a Monday evening. So the women's tournament is going on right now as well. It's over by the time you've heard this, but the big LSU-Iowa matchup is tonight. Is Caitlin Clark and Iowa finally going to be able to beat LSU? They lost in the championship game last year. This is the matchup everybody wanted to see, and here it is.
It's like, I mean, it makes sense that they have to go through LSU to make that run all the way to the championship match, and the Caitlin Clark hysteria has just continued beyond her last game at her home gym. I mean, I'm still seeing the ticket prices for the Final Four through the roof. Like, and in comparison to men's Final Four ticket prices, they're like 5 to 10X. So it's impressive to see the buzz around women's college basketball. And I mean, the way a lot of these top seeds are advancing through, it's going to make for an impressive Final Four in Cleveland on the women's side as well.
Well, indeed. Interesting to see if UConn is able to do what they did a number of years ago and win both tournaments again at the same time.
Oh, the double. Yeah, I lived in Connecticut when that happened last time.
Yeah, we were. Yeah. Speaking of Connecticut, we do just need to talk about our Quinnipiac Bobcats, the defending Division I NCAA men's ice hockey national champions, will not be able to repeat, Alex. Heartbreak overtime loss to Boston College after a great overtime win against Wisconsin, but we just could not get it done.
Yeah, in bracket lingo, basically our Bobcats lost in overtime the Elite Eight, that close to making it to the Frozen Four, not the Final Four, the Frozen Four. Yeah, and that was a tough one for me because I've been now thrown into a culture of losing the last few years with my sports teams, and the Quinnipiac hockey team was really the last thing that I was holding on to this sports calendar season. To have them eliminated and officially lose the full-on handling and holding of that title, definitely a little bit of a gut shot. It came in overtime. Listen, you know, we had to get by BC to win the title last year. It's only fitting they clip us in a similar fashion. So tough way to go out for the Bobcats, but we look ahead to next year once again.
Worth noting, the Bobcats have made it to the regional final, the Elite Eight, six times since the 2012-2013 season. That's third in the nation, trailing only Denver and Minnesota Duluth. So if you don't consider Quinnipiac a perennial college hockey powerhouse, then something is wrong with you.
Yeah, we're in it. I like being in the mix. That's an important thing, is especially when you go to a smaller school like us, and a lot of people, this will resonate with a lot of people. You might go to a smaller school out there, but you got one team that sticks out above the rest and can play with the big boys, and that's what our hockey team is. So it's good to see that that's going to be the culture for the future.
All right, let's talk baseball, because the season did officially start at the tail end of last week. Alex, my Yankees had the brooms out in force against the Houston Astros. We went 4-0 to start the season. We don't need Garrett Cole, who's on the injured reserve list.
Oh, wow.
This team did great. Juan Soto showing his pinstripes are there to stay, making a big mark in his opening weekend on the Yankees. How are your Red Sox doing?
We're giving a standing ovation after the first weekend for splitting a four-game series in Seattle. I mean, that was just bravo. The path to 80 wins, Mike. Here it is. This is how it starts. You win two, you lose two. Inconsistency night to night. That's going to be the brand for the 2024 Red Sox. So I'm on the right side of it so far. I identified the two nights when they were going to lose, and I didn't bet on them. And I identified the two nights when they were going to win, and I did. So hopefully my tracker stays on correctly and is hitched appropriately for the next 6 months. I'm ready for some mediocrity in the AL East. Bring it on.
I just want to let you know that your team trails some perennial horrific teams like the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Milwaukee Brewers, both undefeated right now.
I'm ready for that.
So I just want you to know that. Like you guys suck.
Yeah, long climb uphill. We're just trying to stay relevant for as long as we can this season. I think that's going to be the name of the game for me in Red Sox Nation.
All right, let's hashtag always end with food.
Yep, food segment to end every Course of Life podcast at always end with food on Instagram. Easter candy, Mike. Easter weekend in the rear view. Got the Cadbury Reese's eggs. But the one cringeworthy thing I found in the grocery store blew my mind so much so that I had to get it. I'll post the review of it on Instagram. But Peeps have made gummies. That's right. Peeps have made gummies in the flavor of Peeps, which pretty much everyone hates. What my annual question to you, where do you stand on Peeps?
I like marshmallows. I'm not a big Peeps fan. And I'm very confused by the idea of a marshmallow flavored gummy.
Correct. And here's the crazy flavor for you. As soon as I bit into them, do you remember the taste of the dried marshmallow from Lucky Charms before you put milk on it?
Oh God, I never got Lucky Charms, but I had it.
That's maybe the flavor for there. Anyone who knows at but home. That
not ideal.
That dried marshmallow, chalky marshmallow flavor. They've somehow managed to pack that into a gummy. So Peeps continuing to invent with their product portfolio with every passing year. I'll give you my full Peeps gummies grade and review on Instagram at Always End With Food. My one word will be surprising, though. Definitely a surprising flavor. That's for sure.
It always is. It's just, you know, so we've had two candy holidays. What's the next candy holiday coming up now, I think?
Let's think about that. Yeah.
But I don't think we have anything until Halloween now.
No, nothing super immediately on the radar right now. No.
It's all about grilling now. It's all about getting the grill out.
That's right. We'll get some grill talk starting next week. But thanks again for tuning in to this week's Course of Life podcast. For Mike, I'm Alex. We'll see you next week.